God, our God. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that it may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Please be seated. Thank you. If you have not yet done it, would you turn to the minor prophet, Habakkuk? And as you're doing that, I just want to say something. Having been a pastor of certain years, a great joy is when the message and the music go together. And I bring the message. These folks bring the music. They selected it. I choose the message. But to God goes all the glory. Where would I be? Where would these folks be without Jesus Christ? We wouldn't be here. So it's just a thrill. The selection of the music today could not be better for the book of Habakkuk. So thank you for that, being vessels of the Lord God. I hear you're turning it, and the message is entitled, Wait for It. We're going to kind of zip through all three chapters. Be thankful I didn't pick the book of Isaiah this morning. Okay. So, turn out the lights when you leave, Earl. But we're going to go through this book. What I'm going to do is it breaks down for me into six sections. I'll read the section, and I'll just have kind of like a rolling commentary in plain English of what's going on about this, and then make an application at the end. This book was written somewhere around 615 B.C., maybe a little bit later than that. It was about the time of the collapse of the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh fell to the coming Babylonian kingdom, their Neo-Babylonian Empire, King Nabopolassar. And his son, Crown Prince Nebuchadnezzar, was there with Dad. And in 612, they went into Assyria. And up to that point, the Assyrians, nobody challenged them. They were just some tough dudes. And Babylon went in there in 612 and just cleaned Nineveh off like it was, you know, scrubbing dirt off a plate. And everybody in the neighborhood was kind of like, hooray, they got rid of Assyria. And it's like, oh, now they're the next in line. So it's kind of a mixed blessing. And it's in these days that Habakkuk, he's happy in Judah, he's happy in Jerusalem that the Assyrians were defeated, but he's got some problems with his own people. This is an odd book because most prophets, I'll just jot it down here, most prophets are called by God to deliver a message from God, but not this time. This is different. Habakkuk is calling upon God, and he wants to deliver some questions to God. So he's either really bold or really stupid, one of the two. But this is where he's at. And of course, it must be okay because God knows what's going on. And this little three chapters is inscripturated as one of the 66 books of our scripture. And therefore, it must be in here. So, and I want to tell you one other thing before we jump into it here. I've not liked recently what's been going on in America. I'm all upset, mad, aggravated, and probably 10 other words. And I'm preaching this message to me. Now, if it means anything to you, we're just in the bonus round, okay? Because I really need to hear what God said to Habakkuk, and I need to apply it to me. The way Habakkuk needed to listen to what God said back 2,000 years ago, I need to hear it, and I'll just be bold enough to say probably we need to hear it too. So here we go, verses 1 through 4, the complaint by Habakkuk. The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see, it's a burden because where he's at, he's not a happy camper. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, that means it's weak, it's powerless, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. In other words, the wicked prosper. The people in authority that God has called into the leadership for Judah and for Jerusalem, the ones that should be taking care of business, they just kind of look in the other way. Did anybody say the word Supreme Court in here? Well, move on. So here's what it is, these first four verses. Here's the Habakkuk in street language for today. He says, God, I have called upon you. I have called upon you. And I want to be respectful, but you're not listening. Disobedience. Talk about a covenant, God's people. The covenant is nothing but turned into corruption. There's sin, there's violence, and it's everywhere. There is a godly remnant within Judah, within Jerusalem, but we're way outnumbered. Why are you subjecting to all of this? Why don't you do something? Why don't you judge Judah? Why don't you judge Jerusalem? Why don't you deal with the wickedness? Why don't you discipline us? Because a loving father will do that with his children. When we don't go the right way, God talks about it in Hebrews, he chastens us, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. And Habakkuk is saying, I know you, God. I know the kind of God you are. And if you loved us, you wouldn't let Judah and Jerusalem keep getting away with this. You do something about it because you love us. Act. Judge. Discipline. Nobody's obeying the law. Nobody's following it. And as I said, all the authority problems, the wicked prosper, the perverse and the proud are just getting away with murder. And God, you just don't seem to care. If we come down now to 5 through 11, God is going to answer him. Correction from the Lord. Here we go. Here's God speaking now in answer to Habakkuk. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Oh, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, and they shall heap up the dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing his power unto his God. In this case, the complaint is, now the correction is from this, and he cannot believe what he has heard. His heart is shattered. He's angry because, did I just hear out of the mouth of God what I thought that I had heard? The Lord says, Habakkuk, I've heard you. Pay attention, keep your eyes open. Look around at those pagan heathen nations round about us. I have answered you. I don't want you to be frustrated anymore. I don't want you to think I'm not listening. I am. I'm going to answer your prayer. And it's not going to be some prophecy that's going to be in the future 400 or 500 years. He said, I'm going to do it in your days. I'm going to do it now. Because the way you've been calling and crying to me, you're like, do it yesterday. And God says, okay, I will. It's going to be in your days. And I've picked on the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to be my instrument of disciplining and judging you evil, wicked people there in Judah and Jerusalem. Just like you've requested, I'm going to answer that prayer, Habakkuk. When you think about the Babylonians, you know, they are extremely harsh. They're very bitter. They use incredible force. They're like 6th century BC, what we call the Nazis use the Blitzkrieg. The Nazis probably got their ideas from the Chaldeans. They're going to come at you with incredible force and high speed. They're going to come to occupy, conquer, and they are all unbelievably proud, conceited, and arrogant, and boastful about themselves. They're cruel. Their cavalry cannot be rivaled. That's their tip of the spear. And after the cavalry goes through and you say, man, am I glad that over, here comes hordes of infantry. And they come in. They capture cities. They capture people. Just like that. Anybody who tries to stand against them, they just collapse. They think they're going to hold them off. They think they're going to, you know, have a good stand against the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans come in there just like nothing. And those people, those nations, those armies that try to stop them, what do the Babylonians do? They scorn. They mock. They ridicule. And then in verse 11, just when you think maybe you figured out, you say, you know, we've watched what the Babylonians, the Chaldeans have done in these other neighboring countries. We think we figured out a plan. We think we've got an idea of a way we can stop these guys. And then when they figure out that they think we've figured them out how to beat them, they change their tactics and they come some other different way. They change their mind. And just when we think we're going to stop them, we see something else and everybody just goes, uh-oh. And here they come. And then while they're doing that, they give all the glory to their gods, their chief god, Marduk, because they think that their god has made them invincible. And are they not? Who stopped them? Nobody. Even the Assyrians. I mean, the whole Middle East, they looked at the Assyrians and said, hey, nobody's going to be able to beat these guys. And Babylon comes in with Nabopolassar and Nebuchadnezzar and makes them look like last week's lunch. So that's what it is. So now we go down to, as I said, he can't believe what he's heard. We go down to verses 12 through 17. Now confusion controls Habakkuk. As we said, he has a shattered heart. He's afraid, and he's also angry. There's going to be some accusation in here, so I got to change the tone just a little bit as it goes through. Verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst now look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue, when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, that's like a fish hook, and catch them in their net and gather them in their drag nets. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice under their net and burn incense under their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? So basically we come through here and he says, I can't believe what I just heard. He says, aren't you not the Holy One? I remember reading Moses in Leviticus somewhere, God, where you said, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. I've remembered what you said, the kind of a God you are. And I also remember we heard from Moses that we are your covenant people. Oh, you discipline us, but we are your people. You said we're peculiar treasure. And we're not like all the other people round about. They're pagan and heathen. But we are the ones that you keep covenant with us. We're the different ones. We're not to be like the nations round about. And he says, and now, let me get this straight. I called for discipline. I know we need to have a little bit of, you know, getting spanked. But you've called upon these pagan, cruel, heartless monsters called the Babylonians. They're far worse than we are. How can you be upset with us and say, well, you have to be disciplined and we're going to use these godless, treacherous, pagan, cruel monsters to be my instrument. He says, that doesn't make any sense. And the other thing he says, we're not going to die. Now, what he means by that, he's not just talking about individuals. He's talking about the Jewish nation. He's talking about Israel. It was 100 years ago. Remember, after Solomon died, there was that civil war in all of Israel, the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. And about 722 BC, the Assyrians came in there, and they just wiped out those 10 northern tribes, broke them up, tore them up, and they're gone. So they're just kind of like off the map, and that's the 10 northern tribes. There's Judah and there's Benjamin left down there with Jerusalem. And here's what he's kind of saying to God. He says, listen, you said you discipline your people. You said you chasten your people. But God, let me remind you, we've watched the Babylonians. You know the Babylonians. They don't come in to spank or discipline anybody. They come in to decimate, destroy. They mean to obliterate. Are you saying that just the way Assyria took out the 10 northern tribes, you're going to wipe us out? That's what it sounds like. And the way they came through, you know, he says, we used to be the special people. He says, I guess not anymore. He used the idea of, you know, the Babylonians with their net catching all the kind of fish in the sea. And what he's intimating here is kind of like wagging his finger. God, he's saying, I guess we're not the covenant people anymore. I guess we're just like all the Gentile fish in the fishnet. We're going to be treated just the same way as everybody else. Oh, excuse me, with one exception. Your instrument, the Babylonians, they will be the fishermen. They will hold the nets, and we'll just be part of their dragnet. They'll put the hook through us just like they did everybody else. There's nothing special about Israel anymore, I guess. And he says, to top it off, when they get the victory with their nets, with their army, with their gods, especially Marduk, they're going to incense to Marduk, praise to Marduk, praise to our gods. Do you think when you use them as the instrument, they're going to say, well, our victory is because Yahweh of Israel helped us? They won't give you anything. Don't you realize that? And then they finally say, they've come through all these nations, we're going to be next, and as long as you're not going to do anything about it, I guess they'll just keep on going, happy as they can be. Praise to Marduk, praise to Babylon, praise to our army. And God, I guess, might as well just be playing with it. I guess that's just all right with you. That's what he says. He's angry. He's afraid. His heart is shattered. He cannot believe what God is doing to use the Babylonians. Yeah, we need to be disciplined. But it sounds like you're going to wipe Judah and Jerusalem off the face of the map. That's not the God I thought I knew. Now we come to what we read this morning. We come to the third portion where there is a very clear and certain communication. I'll read it one more time. He says there in verse 1, chapter 2, I will stand upon my watch and will set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, that what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, says the Lord God, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Coming into chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk, he says, well, I did it now. I wagged my finger at God's face. That's not real smart. But at least I was honest. At least I was candid. I didn't beat around the bush. I told him I'm angry, upset, I don't understand what's going on, and I told him. So I'm not going to go down doing, you know, little daily chores like nothing's happened. No, this is a big deal. I'm going to get up on the wall. I'm going to get on the tower because I know he's going to answer me, and I just figure he's going to rebuke me up one side and down the other. But here's the wonderful thing, folks. He does not rebuke him. Instead, he reminds him that as believers, our perspective must be far different than the world. That is what we heard in the music this morning. Praise God for Bible-believing music. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me. He says, Habakkuk, listen. Your problem is, remember, you were over there in chapter 1. Here's where you've been, Habakkuk. You've been like this. Oh, woe is me. My lifetime, my Jerusalem, my Judah, my experiences, my life. This is all I can think about. And the Babylonians, little picture. And I'm obsessed about it. And God says, I'm not a tunnel vision God. Mine is the big picture. It's the worldly people. It's the proud and the perverse, those who are upright. Their attitude is, you know, my life is what there's going to be. Oh, this Jesus pie in the sky stuff, you know, heaven and all that. I got no time for that. I've got this life and it's all I got, and I'm going to make it now. My money, my plans, my way, everything, I've got to do it in the here and now. And God says to Habakkuk, that's not the way of God's people. And that's why this book is in here, to remind us that we have to be people, just like Habakkuk, we have to be people with the big picture. He says there, he says, write this vision, write this book down. And he did, it's in the Bible. And make it plain upon tables. He says, put this just in plain street language Hebrew. And then the messengers, you know, like the newspapers, when it comes out, send it to all corners. And it's going to get put in the Bible. So make sure it's plain and understandable so all people of all time that are my people can read this book and understand it. Don't have the little picture. Don't be obsessed just in the time that God gave you, just your little lifetime, because it's God's plan is big. And he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. He said, my big plan is not going to happen in your lifetime. The big picture is not going to occur in your lifetime, Habakkuk. But I want to tell you this much, it is for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Listen, Habakkuk. Listen, people in the day of Christ. Listen, people in the day of Luther. Listen, people in the year of our Lord 2021. Don't get all freaked out because you're thinking about your time, your day, your right now. God says, I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. Be patient and wait for it. Everything is going to turn out right in the end. And when it does come, he says at the end of verse 3, when it comes, it will not tarry. It may seem like it's taken forever for us right now, but when it comes, whammo, he's going to come back and set up the kingdom. Behold, his soul, the proud, the perverse, the ungodly, the atheist, the secular humanist, all those people who have no time for God, they'll come in their little time, and they'll do what they want to do, but like a vapor, they'll die and float away. But that can't be us. We're big picture people. Because remember this, the just shall live by his faith. If you're here this morning and you're justified, that means you have repented of your sin, your belief and your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that God knows what he's doing, that he loves you. You'll have some obstacles, you'll have some circumstances, but when those circumstances and those tough days and those problems come, you don't... No, you just say, God, I'm in your hands. You know what's best. And whatever you want is what I want. Because I know in the end, it'll be all right. Because I'm in Jesus and I have the victory. That's what he says right there. Now, we need to go to the next one. And this is verse 5 through 20. And I'm going to speed up because I'm looking at the clock. The crushing of the Chaldeans. God speaks to Habakkuk and he says, oh, by the way, I just remembered something. You seem to be very concerned about the Chaldeans. Seems like everything's going their way. Well, it's not going to stay that way. Here we go. Verse 5. God personifies Babylonian. He calls them, he's the proud man, and he's going to do some woes on them. And I want you to be here. Yea, also because he transgressed by wine, he's a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarges his desire as hell, and is as death and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him? Now I'm going to pick up and I'm just going to go down through here. God puts down five woes. He said the Babylonians are so arrogant, if they're so proud, they think they're going to be the top dogs forever. But the people that they've conquered and have been cruel to and mean and terrorized, he said, God says as time goes by, it's going to flip. And right now, even those people, they mock them, they taunt them, they ridicule them with sarcasm. That's all they can do in those days because Babylonia is in control. But God says, mark it down, Babylon. You know what? You're going to get as good as you give. And there's going to be another empire that's going to come up. What you did to Assyria, Persia is going to do to you. Mark it down. Now, here are the woes down here, 6 through 7 and 8. And I'm just going to, because of time, I'll let you read that. And what it is saying is simply this. It's kind of, if we'd say, the Babylonian Empire, when they took over, they were kind of like the mafia. They were like the mob in protection. They'd go into all these countries, and they'd devastate these people. They'd steal from them, loot from them, the whole shebang. And then they'd go and they'd say, wow, you look like you're really having some problems. Well, you can come here to the First Bank of Babylon and get a loan. We'll go give you a sweetheart deal. And what they would do is they would just use that to extort and cheat and rob even more. So much so that the people were just cruelly oppressed. He says there, it's like, woe to him that increases that which is not his. How long unto him that ladeth himself with thick clay. If you ever know thick, wet clay that they used to ride on, it's extremely heavy. And all the people, everyone, they're weighted down with all these pledges and all these debts and all these things they have to do for Babylon. And God is just saying, I'm watching you and I'm not going to let you get away with it. Verse 7, shall they, in other words, the people you conquered, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee and awaken, shall vex thee, and thou shalt be booties unto them. In other words, they're going to give back what you gave to them. Next one, woe 2, 9, 10, and 11. Woe to him that covereth the evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. The idea that rules are for everybody else, but not for us. Sounds like politicians. Thou art consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and has sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. He's just basically saying, you've stolen, you've usurped, you've built palaces. When you went into these countries, you robbed their cities, you robbed their palaces, you robbed their homes, you robbed everything. But one day, it's going to come back on you. You tried to protect your riches, like protecting them in places and everything where no one could ever get at their riches. Kind of like a bird builds their nest high in the trees where predators can't get at it. Woe number 3, verse, go down there. This is verses, let me see here. I'm going to pick up in... Verse 12, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. He's just, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Lord as the waters cover the sea. In other words, he's saying here in this woe, you have built by the blood and the sweat of other people, died. It's like slave labor, like the pyramids. The Nazis did this in France and other places. They put up fortresses and everything like slave labor, and people died in blood. And he said, you're not going to get away with that. Verse 15, we come down to another woe. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink and putteth thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink also thou, or thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood. And for the violence of the land, of the city, and all that dwell therein, what profiteth the graven image that the maker therein hath given it, the molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? God says, I'm the living God, and you won't have anything to do with me. You worship gods that are made of metal and wood and stone. They have no life. They can't think. They can't talk. All of that's going to come back on you. When I set up for your destruction, you can pray all day long to Marduk and all your other gods. They're not going to be able to save you. And then finally, the last woe. Verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone. Arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of them, that the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. He is just saying here that Babylon is so arrogant that they don't even realize that they were God's instrument. They think of themselves. Oops, sorry about that. I was going to do the Tarzan thing, but that didn't work. They think of themselves that it's their great god Marduk who's led them to victory. And the kings, they're geniuses, and the military leaders, and all the people of Babylon, oh, they're just so much, their gods made them invincible and intelligent, so they're giving all the praise to themselves. And God says, when I finally deal with them, Habakkuk, they're going to understand that I'm the one true God. And when the day was that you were looking for you, God, they're useless. Now in verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And then we have to go to chapter 3 very quickly. Listen, whether it was the Assyrians who stole countries and kingdoms, whether it was the Babylonians who stole kingdoms and countries, palaces and money, whether it was the Persians after them, the Romans, whether it was Hitler, no matter who it is, these people, these powers, they come and they go. Who knows, there may be even people thumping their chest right now because they would steal something like an election. But God says, and listen, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. In the end, God says, let them do what they're going to do. My people, keep your eyes and your focus on me. The just shall live by faith, because I tell you, no one's going to get away with anything. They all have to come before me on their judgment. Can I even say to the people in this room, we're God's children, but we're not going to get away with anything either. I'm not going to get away with anything. Every one of us has to stand before God and give an account to the Lord. So he's in the temple. He says, let them do what they want. They come and they go, but I'm Jehovah. I'm here forever. I'm in my temple. But what about this? What about this? Just be quiet and keep your trust in me. Now, finally then, chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk, and I'm just going to kind of read through this whole thing very quickly because you remember in chapter 1, where was Habakkuk? He was afraid, and he had a shattered heart. We go two chapters later, and instead of full of fear, he's full of faith. And instead of a shattered heart, now he has a heart full of song. He says, the prophet upon Shigionoth, which we go to the last verse, and it says, to the chief singer on my string instruments. He's been despairing. Now he's delighting, and he says, hey, let's strike up the band and sing praises to our God. What has happened to Habakkuk? He's got the big picture now. He's going to live by faith. And he says this. I'm just going to read through here, and just as we go, I'm not going to make too many comments. He's just thinking about the world and his God. And he's thinking specifically about how God has treated Israel. But he also says in the end, it's not going to be just Israel. When all this comes to fruition, the whole world is going to be trembling before God. And even though we're not Jewish as believers, it's going to be a good day for us because we have the victory in Jesus. So I'm just going to go through here. He says in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. And he basically says, at first, I was afraid. O Lord, he says, now I know, revive thy work in the midst of the years, even the years that the Babylonians are going to be here. He'll revive his work. They're not going to be on the top all the time. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. You're going to have wrath upon the world, but you'll have mercy on your people. We don't have to face wrath, God, amen? God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. He's talking about Paran. He's also talking about when God came down on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, to give the Ten Commandments. He was just saying how God miraculously in miracles dealt with his own people. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. The world trembles before the living God. I saw the events of Cushan in affliction and the curtains of the land of Midian and tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? The bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy Lord, or thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. That's in the book of Joshua. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. All those kingdoms that thought they didn't need God, they found out. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Even for salvation with thine anointed, thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation under the neck. Selah. He's talking about the Exodus there under Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought he was so big and bad. In the end, he says, please, Moses, take these people with your God and get out of town. Moses, your God, our gods can't stand up to your God. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly, talking about the Red Sea. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, in other words, Habakkuk, you say, when I'm considering all this, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. There's a clue. God's people, we rest in our Lord in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troop. And now here the final thing is his constant course. He says, you know what? I've got a different outlook now. I've got the big picture. But the fact of the matter is, God has not changed his mind. In his day, the Babylonians did come into Judah and Jerusalem, and you would never confuse them with the Girl Scouts. No, they just tore the place up, tore the place up. But within himself, Habakkuk said, you know what? No matter what the circumstance might be, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Not just the wheels fall off, but they exploded. And yet here's the key to those who are justified by faith. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon mine high places. Now let's sing to our God, to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. He says, God told me the truth. I was so petrified, I was so angry, I didn't even think God was my God anymore. How foolish I was. Whether 615 B.C., you know what, I don't think I'm going to like what's going to happen in Washington this week in January 2020. But you know what? I'm going to rejoice in my God anyway. He knows what he's about. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't make any mistakes. And we have to have that peace. That's where we're at. I trust this morning all of us, if we feel that sense of panic or anger or frustration, remember the big picture. The just shall live by faith. And remember, all the people who cheat and steal and lie and think they got away with murder, they're not going to get away with anything. Let's pray. Father God, Habakkuk wrote this a long time ago, but I think you could put it on the news headlines of tomorrow morning's newspaper. Circumstances, places, kingdoms, powers, they change, they come and go. But the principles of the Word of God and the promises of our Savior God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. All these things are there for us, these resources. It's only up to us whether we choose to live by faith or get our eyes and our focus off the Lord our God. May that never be. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
You to grab your hymnals, please, and stand. 548, 548, just the first verse where he leads, I will follow.